Hello and good afternoon. This is Wade Allen at the Shelby Star, and I'm joined here today at Hospice Cleveland County here in Shelby with the Reverend Dr. Janice Cooper. She is a chaplain at Hospice, and she's the author of a book called Come Inside, Discovering Your Purpose, and she is welcoming us here today at Hospice. Hello, Janice. How are you doing today?
Hello, Wade. How are you doing?
We're doing fine. Thank you. Start and tell the listeners a little bit about this book here. Tell people what you hope to accomplish by writing this. I have skimmed it myself and found that there's a lot of advice, some scripture, advice on how to handle things, situations, and a lot about the Bible.
I intended in this particular edition, which is the second edition. The first edition was written in 2010. It is an evolutionary kind of book. I have used it in my work as a clergy person for the last 25 plus years.
Okay.
It started out in a grassroots ministry, Christ is in Your Crisis Ministry Incorporated, which was organized in 1992. And the Holy has allowed me to found that ministry and to help lots of people.
Okay.
It's a national ministry, and it is focused on empowerment, self-empowerment. That's what these books are about, and how we evolve over time. We are becoming. Christ has done the work for those who know Him, who are believers, and yet in our lives, personal lives, we have not arrived at any point. Even right now, we are becoming by our experiences, which we are the expert of. We are the expert of our experiences. So when you think about this book, Come Inside, Discovering Your Purpose, I wrote the first edition never thinking that I'd write a book. It started in the classroom with people, leadership, sending their leaders into a closed session in community. You know, I'm from Alabama, so the work started in Alabama and brought me here in 2006 as pastor of a church in Wilton, North Carolina. And from that, I have evolved into a chaplain with 3,000 plus hours of clinical pastoral education, also known as CPE, which is a criteria to become a chaplain.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And as I have taken all of those hours, it has taught me that the same information can be true, and you can believe what you wrote, and you can walk it out differently, though. I made it more reader-friendly with the second edition. So,
how old is the second edition now?
The second edition is, I wrote it in last year.
Okay.
It's very fresh, but I had no idea that I was going to write a second edition until I had grown a little bit.
Okay.
You know, discovering my purpose from the inside out.
Okay.
And so as that happened, I began to take out all of my notes and thought that it was going to be easy.
Okay.
But it wasn't so easy.
Okay.
Even if you have a format or draft or a real book published, which Christ is in Your Crisis published the first one, so I wanted to go back and clear up some of those feelings, thoughts that I had at the time that I wrote the other one. And it showed me how much I had developed. So that is what my intent is for the second book, is a development, a clearer development of self-worth and self-assessment and self-evaluation. I'm big on the self in terms of how the self can create for us a more peaceable relationship with everyone else.
Okay.
Many times we look at externals, and externals are not as important as what is inside.
Such as other people or your circumstances or...
Circumstances, other people.
Or events that happen in your life.
Events that happen in your life, you're right there, Wade.
Uh-huh.
That is exactly what happens.
Okay.
And when we allow those events to make us turn away from ourselves in a way that is not healthy, then we have to revisit with self all the time, that because we're with self all the time. There's no one else I'm with more than I'm with me.
Right.
And so I know that that is true of every other person. And so I think that when we can have a clear assessment of the things, what our growth and development is, that is what this book is about. That's why it's discovering, because we're ever evolving into that person that we can see our purpose and help someone else. We are gap fillers, if you will. We are those people who have done internal work in self can better serve humanity. CPE has taught me that you have to own what's your stuff and give other people what's their stuff and come to a happy median to know and to celebrate each other's worth and value, which we all have. Everybody has worth or value.
Is this book aimed at helping a certain type of person or somebody that's going through a certain circumstance, or do you think anybody could get something from it?
I think anybody can get something from it. Of course, mature believers who need to revisit some things that they have looked at, you know, for so long, and they can get a new view.
Uh-huh.
I think it's for the baby believer who is just coming into the Lord and having that relationship. But also, I see it for those who are searching for something meaningful to make sense, because, you know, if you just look at this book and read it for what's intended, you know, with the setup of it and the ABCs and 1-2-3s. Also, wait, I was a kindergarten teacher for about 10 years. I taught K-4 and K-5. So it's interesting to me that at that age, they were able to learn from kindergarten and in an internal way. And I found out, hey, that's my gifting still today. I am the fundamental kind of teacher. I leave the middle school and junior high and college to everybody else. I'm still that person that, you know, bridges the gap with those ABCs and 1-2-3s, because many times people have missed that, and especially in a walk with this God who we do not see, cannot see, but we confess Him.
Right.
And so when we think about the holy, we have to think in terms of how we walk that out for other people. What do we say? Are we talking above their heads? Many times, you know, people can't learn because people in my world of clergy, sometimes we talk over people's head. But we need to meet people like face to face, eye to eye, and speak the language that they can understand.
Let's talk a little bit about what brought you here. What brought you to Shelby? When did you move to Cleveland County?
I moved to Cleveland County in 2015.
Okay.
After residency, I was a resident, which is another required component for chaplaincy. And
okay.
Hospice Cleveland County interviewed me and hired me to do this work. And
okay.
Of
okay.
course, I came because the protocol is to be in the midst of our patients in 35-mile radius, because when someone needs the fire truck, they don't want them to be trying to find them.
Right.
They want them to be there.
Right.
So as chaplains, that's what we do. We have to be present for people. And so that is what brought me to Shelby, Cleveland County.
Let's talk about how you minister to people. I'm sure there's people listening or going to read this article who have been helped by you, probably in their darkest hours as far as their family life, their situation. They're probably saying goodbye to loved ones. They feel like their world's crashing down. I think we can all relate to people we've lost and experiencing that grief. How do you work with people who are losing a loved one? How does that start? Do you meet with them and have an initial talk, or do you just try to let them know that somebody cares? Or?
Yes, well, you know, our protocol is to go in and do a spiritual assessment. And from that assessment, we find out what the needs are. We don't assume. I don't assume as a chaplain what people need because they're in that crisis situation. You have to assess what people's needs are and then meet them there. That is my practice as I have pastored before becoming a chaplain. I pastored for many years, and I didn't assume that my parishioners needed something. I had to make an assessment each week, what they needed with the pastoral care. And so it is with the chaplaincy. You know, you have to, you don't want to go in and make a situation worse because you assume that people need one thing and you bring something else. So I get a real true picture of what they need, and then it's that same bridge that you bring people gently, compassionately, empathetically through. And that's when you find out what they need, and that's when you also find out what they're willing to accept from you. And it has been a wonderful experience.
It sounds like you really love your job, you're passionate about this, and you've been able to help a lot of people, huh?
I love my job. I am passionate about my job, and I get from families, you know, primary caregivers or family that, wow, thank you. When I hear words, you have helped me more than you will ever know. I love you. I'm so glad that you were present with me in the loss of my loved one. And that is more rewarding than anything when you have worked in a career of helping people for 30 years. That is rewarding to me.
Okay.
And so it makes my point even the more that it's also, I'm still on this journey of discovering even that which I have to offer, because, you know, sometimes you wonder, what is it that I have to offer?
Yeah.
Every clergy person should have that attitude sometimes, because this is the work of the holy.
What's it like walking in to a room where people are grieving or preparing to grieve or whatever? Do you ever, I'm sure you seek the Lord's guidance before you enter a situation like that, but what goes through your mind before you start talking to those people to start assessing their need? Hmm?
What goes through my mind is to see, assess the room.
Okay.
The room plays a great part.
And that could be here at the hospice house or at their home or wherever.
Anywhere our patients are.
Okay.
Once I enter into that situation where I'm to support that family, I assess the room, the light of it, the dark of it, what's available, what matters to them. The room can tell me, the space can tell me a lot about what I'm entering into, just that intuitive nature of what chaplaincy is and what clinical pastoral education has taught, and being a preacher's kid also. Let me just put that. I grew up, I'm fourth generation preacher as well as chaplain, so just seeing how the stories of my father and the matriarchs and those preachers in my family, just hearing those stories, it is amazing how much you keep. You know, preachers have an old adage, more is caught, Wade, than taught.
Okay.
So I have caught more than has been taught to me, or just as much. So that gives me a good idea when I extend my hand. I extend my hand first, because that's what they can see. My heart is already in tune because it's a situation that requires me to be fully present with them. And as I extend my hand sometimes, they naturally hug me, because they're equating the presence of the chaplain with a touch tone to the holy.
Okay.
And that speaks volume.
Okay.
To what people feel about chaplains when we walk in to their situation. We're invited. We don't just walk in assuming. they invite us in. Many times, even before an assessment is made, someone on admission requests to see a chaplain. Mm-hmm. Well, I know what that means.
Yeah.
It means that at least they're open to what it means mm-hmm. to have a chaplain present. And whatever their needs are, if they need a priest, you know, to do last rites, my part is to get them what they need.
Okay.
Because I'm not a priest. So if they are Catholic or whatever their tradition, faith tradition is,
okay,
then that's what I'm there to help them with, to support okay. them with.
Okay.
If they need last rites, I'm there. If they need, you know, whatever their faith tradition is, my job is to make sure that they have what they need
okay.
for their dying loved one and for the peace of that family that's seeking out what would make a difference
okay.
to them. I pause because...
You probably have a bunch of memories come back to mind where you've helped people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all the time is not always what I can bring
right.
in my office of an ordained elder. It is what they need.
Right.
And that may be a priest.
Right.
Or, you know, the Hindu may need.
Mm-hmm.
Buddhists. I've had all kinds and my colleagues as well have. We've just had different various things that people need.
And I guess some people, if they're, you know, they may have their own pastor or something that is wanting to be present during that time as well. And
we have a protocol
yeah.
and very much collegial courtesies
sure.
to local pastors. And
sure.
it always warms my heart, coming also from a pastor background as having been a pastor. It warms my heart to know that the local pastor is present with their own
right.
Member, because we don't act as pastors when there is a pastor.
Right.
we come in to be a support
okay.
system to that local pastor. And when that pastor is present already, then it warms my heart when I have to go and call that pastor to make sure that they know that their member is in a facility or in a hospital. It warms my heart because then there is the connection of community, which is what this book is about. I love community.
Yeah.
You know, I've always been in community. I wasn't a pastor first. I was an evangelist. It was a long time before I got to the pulpit as a pastor. My work was in the wayside, in the marketplaces.
Where all did you work as a pastor? What churches did you lead? Were they in North Carolina? You said Alabama? Mm-hmm.
I started in Alabama
okay.
in
mm-hmm.
2006.
Okay.
And was appointed to my next charge in Wilton, North Carolina in 2006 and stayed there until 2010. And I was appointed to a church in Pinehurst
okay.
in 2010. And I stayed there until my own mother was sick and in hospice in,
okay.
in Alabama. And that was my first encounter with hospice.
Right.
Even before I was a chaplain.
That well, I think one thing we should talk about briefly is I assume a lot of people know what hospice is, but tell me what hospice does.
Mm. Well, hospice...
I know they do a lot of things. And
yes. The primary thing that we do, hospice coming from the word rest,
right.
That is what it means. People, when they're sick and they're dying, they need rest. And a respite. So hospice provides support, medical, holistic approach, supportive service, chaplains, social workers, nurses, for people who have had a terminal diagnosis where their prognosis has been stated that it will be for 6 months or less.
Okay.
And that is how one qualifies to become eligible for hospice admittance. And with that, sometimes patients get better because it's respite, rest.
Mm-hmm.
They get better and they discharge us. or they get better, and we have to, they revoke us, rather, mm-hmm. and sometimes they get better where we have to discharge them with our medical team that consists of a medical director, nurses practitioners, skilled nurses that patients see every week regardless of where they are. They see a hospice representative, and we work as a team. We're very team conscious as Hospice Cleveland County. Whatever is going on, the team is made aware. If my eyes don't see, then another of the team members' eyes see, and we collaborate on that. So it is our very intent to provide the most skilled, compassionate care mm-hmm. that you can give through Hospice Cleveland County. As a matter of fact, that's why I love mm-hmm. Hospice Cleveland County, and that they gave an opportunity to me to use my gifts and skills, because it is so much team-oriented. It is so much community-based that I can feel a sense of career, you know, when you're looking for something to fulfill you, it is always in what can also you can give. It's like the law of reciprocity, I always mm-hmm. say, and it's very common law to me, laid yeah. in my work. It is where the hand is going like this. It's never one way. Right. So as we give to patients through Hospice Cleveland County, I am also privileged that they give so much back to us.
What do you see? You've done so much, and you've been so many places, and all. Where do you see your work taking you in the future? Have you found a happy home here? And you sound very content to be here, and this is where you enjoy being right now. Is this really the fulfillment of your professional life, or is?
You have captured the sense and the essence
okay.
of my moment.
I mean, right? It seems like your whole professional life has been building up to this moment, you know? Mm?
It's been evolving, yes. Yeah. Because as a pastor, you don't know where you're going to be. And so as a clergy person, I have moved so many times in the residency to get to be a chaplain. You don't know where you would be. So what you sense is that sense of ease that I have. I have become content in my career. I've become content in the community which I reside, which is Shelby. I have come content. I am content with what Hospice Cleveland County provides for me. And I tell them all the time, I'm very content being here. I hope you're content with me.
Okay.
to be here. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you have captured the essence.
I'm just looking at your name tag here. What is the purple flower? Does it have a special meaning or symbolism?
It does have a special
There's a for those who can't see, there's a pin that's on her name tag, and it's a purple flower, and it's very pretty.
Well, one of my patients in my first year
okay.
made this African violet for me. And she gave it to me before she died.
Uh-huh.
And her daughter was there to assist her with that. And I put it on from day one, and it has been a fixture on my badge. And I'm into my fourth year with Hospice Cleveland County. And it has no sign, this flower has no sign of growing old. It's not tattered. It's made out of very good material. And this was her hobby and her work, mm-hmm. you know, when she was able to do this and make people happy. So I am very happy to wear this. And it just shows that she connected with me, and she was one of my 90-year-old patients, over 90, about 94, 95. Mm-hmm. And for that to be given is such an honor, and helps me feel better that I am making connections in my work, because it's not a self-centered, it's a self-assessing. However, you have to assess on the side of being a blessing and being present with patients who can think about you and say, here you are, or do my funeral, or uh-huh. I want you to sing at my funeral. You know, I sing at the bedside, and I just sing at the bedside because I'm trying to comfort them in my work as a healthcare practitioner, integrative practitioner. But you don't know how many times that just singing at the bedside to comfort them at that moment has come a request to sing mm-hmm. at a funeral. And so I also do that, and, you know, preach funerals, do eulogies, say words, mm-hmm. read scripture, pray, and to have that requested of you, it's just all come inside, discovering your purpose. It's just God process. Mm-hmm. It's the process of life. That's why you can never say, I have arrived at this point, because it's all, as you just said, it seems like you've been coming this way.
Right.
And that is very apropos for what I feel and sense in my life. That
For somebody who wants a copy of this book, tell everybody how you can get one. Or do you sell them? Or,
Amazon.com.
Okay, Amazon.com.
Amazon.com.
Get you one. They're soft cover, and it's yes. very pretty. A pretty yellow flower on the cover.
And if you don't want to do Amazon.com because you just don't have time and you're not computer savvy, or you don't trust the internet to give you money, you can call me and I okay. can autograph a copy for you in real time.
Okay.
And even provide a book signing for you.
Okay.
Know, and hold a women's group, because this book is being
used. So you accept invitations?
I do.
Okay.
This book is being used in Bible studies.
Okay.
Self-help, women's groups.
Okay.
And have since the first inception of the new edition.
Okay, very good. Well, look, we've been speaking with Reverend Dr. Janice Cooper here at Hospice Cleveland County. She works as a chaplain here, and she has a book, the second edition, Come Inside, Discovering Your Purpose. Thank you so much for listening. Have a good day.